Praise the Lord. God's good to us like that, you know. We even if we go astray a little bit, we can get that thing turned right around and come back to Him and still be, you know, and get us back out of that valley, even though we went down into it. He's right there to help us. All we got to do is reach out to Him, ask Him, and He's right there for us. Amen. Anyone else? Hey, I'm thankful for you folks. Amen. I love this church.
Yes, sir.
It's amazing. I grew up in my dad's church I was there for 20 plus years before we moved here.
Right.
And this is home. I got no desire to go back. And it didn't take us very long. You know, my wife asked me when we moved here, shortly after we had moved here, she asked us, you know, she's like, "Well, I know you've been there for a long." She's like, "Are you okay? Are you getting settled? Like, are you?" I was like, "Yes. Feels like it's right where we're supposed to be. Feels like home, you know. It's our church." So
Amen.
appreciate you folks being faithful to the house of God. All right, we're going to look at, I've been doing some God is, looking in the scripture and finding that place where it says God is something.
Amen.
All right. And tonight we're going to look and see it. God is holy.
Amen.
God is holy. And when I was putting this message together, it's kind of hard. I was thinking about it. How do you describe the holiness of God?
Amen. Yeah.
It's kind of hard to do. And so we're going to kind of look at some things that tie in with God being holy. And then we're going to see how that applies to us. All right. Psalm 99. We're going to read the whole psalm there. It says, "The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and He is high above all the people. Let them praise Thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at His footstool, for He is holy. Moses and Aaron among His priests, and Samuel among them that call upon His name, they called upon the Lord, and He answered them. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept His testimonies and the ordinances that He gave them. Thou answerest them, O Lord our God. Thou wast a God that forgavest them, though Thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at His holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy."
Amen.
Let's go to God in a word of prayer this evening. God, I just ask You to be with this message tonight. Lord, just give me the right words to say that I would make sense of what You've laid on my heart and what You have in Your Scripture. May You use it and be a help and a blessing to the folks that are here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So I looked up the word holy to hopefully, you know, going, hey, maybe I can get a better understanding of it. And I was looking at some different definitions and seeing what maybe some other men of God had thought of it. And every time I read it, it just seemed like it applied more to us than it did to God directly. And this is what they came up with. It was separate, set apart, totally different. And I felt like that's, you know, that could be applied towards something or us that, you know, hey, if we're to be holy, we're to be set apart, separate,
right,
totally different. So personally, I got to think about, okay, how would it relate to God? Okay, God being holy, what would that mean? And some of it correlates a little bit, but I thought, well, perfect. God's perfect, right?
Amen. Yep.
Hey, holy, perfect, without sin. That kind of ties in with being perfect. It's not just perfect as in it, there's nothing wrong with it, but He's without sin as well. There's no sin.
Amen.
But it is also, He's nothing like His creation. He's totally different than His creation. He's lifted up, and then just having to do with God. If something's holy, then it's having to do with God.
Right.
If it's not holy, then it has nothing to do with God. And so I got thinking about it. I said, well, because God is holy, then what? Well, first of all, because God is holy, His name is holy. His name is holy. We're going to be looking at a lot of scriptures, so get your fingers ready, okay? I hope you can turn quickly in your Bible. Psalm 99, verse 3, we just read that. It said, "Let them praise Thy great and terrible name, for it is holy." And then, just over a few chapters in 111, verse 9, It says, he sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name.
Amen.
Holy and reverend is his name. I got thinking about it. His name is great and terrible. It's great. I mean, you know, hey, if something's great, it's above average, right? It's better than most.
Amen.
All right, so that's his name. And terrible, meaning to cause terror. But you know what? You think about it, with God's name, that could be the case. If a sinner stands before God and hears his name, it could cause terror. You ever hear your, you know, hey, your dad's coming.
Oh, yeah.
When you were younger?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, just dad's name struck some terror in your heart, right? Well, that's our God, okay? That's our God. His name should cause us to fear a little bit, okay? God thinks his name is very high. He lifts it up. He lifts it up. Exodus 20, verse 7, should be a familiar verse to most folks. Says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And we find that verse again in Deuteronomy, and it says pretty much, it's almost word for word, says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. God says, hey, don't use my name lightly. If you're going to say my name, you better say my name with reverence. Don't just use it flippantly. There's a lot of words that we use that we just say off the cuff, you know, no, not, I'm not saying cuss words, just
amen.
You say something. Well, that's not to be said about God's name.
Sure.
We're to treat it with respect. We're to be careful with it, all right? His name is excellent. Look in Psalm 148. Psalm 148, verse 13, says, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven.
Amen.
It's above the earth and heaven. His name is excellent. And then how holy is his name? This is how holy his name is. Look in Philippians chapter 2. This hasn't exactly happened yet, but this will happen one day. Philippians 2, verse 9, it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Just at the mention of his name, every knee is going to bow. And that includes us, folks. Now, hey, I believe you're a Christian. You're going to be happy to bow. You're going to be joyful about it. It's going to be an exciting time. I mean, think about it. When this event happens, we're going to think of this scripture verse here. And we're going to go, woohoo, I get to be a part of this. And it's going to be exciting for us because we're on the winning side. And so we're going to be able to go, hey, praise Jesus. I am happy to bow. But that sinner is going to bow too. And it's going to be in terror. Because that name is going to mean something different to them than it does to us. But every knee is going to bow just at the mention of that name. That's a pretty holy name. That's a pretty powerful name. What else? Because God is holy, his book is holy. His book is holy. Look in Romans chapter 1 and 2 Timothy chapter 3. Romans 1 and 2 Timothy chapter 3. Romans 1 verse 2 it says, which he hath promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures. And then in 2 Timothy 3 verse 15, it says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Because God is holy, his book is holy. I mean, I got it right there. You know, a lot of us, we got it. It's this holy Bible on it, right? Now, if you don't have a King James Bible, you don't have a holy Bible.
Amen.
I'll say that.
Right.
If you want a holy Bible, you better have a King James Bible.
Amen.
All others are not holy.
Nope.
You say, what's the big deal about that? Well, I'll say this, just one thing. All the major doctrines you get out, you know about, that you're familiar with, you can't find them in those other Bibles. You only find every single one of them right here. I don't know about you, but I think highly of Calvary, right? Some of them Bibles don't even have that word in there. It's only mentioned once. Imagine having a Bible that didn't have Calvary in it. I've heard of churches that are called Calvary Baptist Church, and they used a different version, and that version didn't even have the word in it. That's pretty crazy to me. But if you want a holy Bible, make sure you have a King James Bible, all right? You'll have a holy one. But you know what? Because God thinks his Bible, because he says, hey, my scripture, my word is holy, my book is holy, he preserved it for us. We still got it today. It's through the ages, men have tried to destroy it, but they can't. Because they can't get rid of God. And God's there to keep it and preserve it for us. So what should we do? Well, hey, we should care for it. We should read it. If God lifts this book up and he says, hey, this book is holy, amen, we should take care of it. And when I say take care of it, I literally mean, hey, you should take care of your Bible.
Oh, yes.
You should treat it well. Okay? I know accidents happen, all right? I've talked to my sister today about, remember when I was, you know, I teach junior church and I let a little kid borrow my Bible. Well, my Bible was too big for him and started to slide, and he went, put his hand on the pages and ripped the pages, and my heart just sunk, and I thought, oh.
Amen.
But can't get mad at the kid because, you know, he's trying to help me not let the Bible fall on the ground. And but take care of this Bible.
Amen.
Take care of your Bible. And if you ever see anyone else's Bible, you should treat it with respect because, hey, this book is holy. There's something to this book, all right? We should treat it with reverence. What else? Because God is holy, his throne is holy. Go to Isaiah chapter 6 and Revelation chapter 4. Isaiah chapter 6 and Revelation chapter 4. We get a glimpse into God's throne room here with these two chapters. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory, and the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And then in Revelation chapter 4, if you look through that chapter there, it's talking about the throne of God. And it's some pretty amazing stuff.
Amen.
It's all kinds of jewels that are going on. It's going to be quite a sight, I believe. Now, you think about it, John here tried to describe it to us, and I'm sure there were some things he couldn't describe to us.
Amen.
I'm sure he couldn't find the words to be able to pen it. And I also know God only gave him so much to tell us. So I'm sure there's some missing parts here.
Right.
But look in verse 8 here. It says, in the four beasts, it's very similar to what we just read. The four beasts had each of them six wings about him. And they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. God's throne is holy. He's the only one that sits on it. He's the only one that can sit on it. He's the only one that will sit on it. Lucifer tried to get on it. He thought, I'll ascend to the throne. And God said, I don't think so. Kicked him out of heaven.
Amen.
And you would think Lucifer would give up. You think that old serpent would quit because, well, if God's powerful enough to kick you out of his heaven, he's powerful enough to keep you out.
Right.
You're not going to defeat him, but he thinks he's got a chance. We all know how it ends one day. Praise the Lord, God's going to take care of him once and for all. God's allowed him to continue on for a time. But his throne is holy. When we come before that throne, we need to show him reverence. Just like any other king's throne, throughout the ages, throughout history, I mean, you think of Solomon's throne, that was quite a majestic throne, but God's throne's even more majestic than that. And it's because it's not a man sits on it, but God sits on it. He's got a holy throne. Next, his heaven is holy. His heaven is holy. Deuteronomy chapter 26 and Psalm chapter 20. Deuteronomy chapter 26 and Psalm chapter 20. Deuteronomy 26, verse 15 says, "Look down from thy holy habitation, from heaven, and bless thy people Israel in the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers, in a land that floweth with milk and honey." And then in Psalm chapter 20, verse 6, it says, "Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand." This is why a sinner can't enter into heaven. God's heaven is holy. And therefore, if it is holy, and he is holy, he can't allow even just one sin to come into his heaven. Because then his heaven would no longer be holy. It wouldn't be holy. So that's why God says, look, you can't come in just the way you are. You've got to come through the blood of the cross. And yet so many don't want to do that. They think, oh, I got a better way. And God says, no, it doesn't take care of it. Because you know what? We've got to get that sin taken care of in order to come into his holy heaven so that that heaven stays holy. You know, it didn't take much for man to ruin this earth when God created it. It was perfect. It was beautiful. And it didn't take long. Man ruined it. And if God allowed that sinful man into heaven, it wouldn't take long and that heaven wouldn't be holy anymore. That's why God can't allow sin in. He's got to keep it holy. He has to keep it holy. Hey, his city is going to be holy, the New Jerusalem. Look in Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21, verse 2, it says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Hey, during that reign of Christ, that New Jerusalem is going to be holy. Holy city. God's going to have it prepared he'll have there. His angels are holy. Do you know that? There was a time they could have chosen. We know that there's some angels that fell. Lucifer took some. But the rest stayed, and God made them holy. Look in Matthew and Mark. Matthew 25 and Mark 8. Matthew 25, verse 31, it says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." And then Mark chapter 8, verse 38, says, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." So because God is holy, his name is holy, his book is holy, his throne is holy, his heaven is holy, his city is holy, his angels are holy, and then lastly, his people are holy. His people are holy. Look at Exodus 19. I don't really think of this when I think of the children of Israel, but this is what God said of them. Exodus 19. Verse 6, it says, "And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." Now, children of Israel are supposed to be a holy nation. And if they had followed God's commands, if they had done the things that God had told them to do, they would be right now. They're not much of a holy nation, but they are a holy people. They are a holy people. His priests, and they were God set them aside, and they were to wear holy garments. Exodus 28. Let's look at that real quick. Exodus 28, verse 2 through 4. It says, "And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty." And then look down in verse 4. "And these are the garments which they shall make, a breastplate and an ephod and a robe and a broidered coat, a mitre and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office." So his priests wore holy garments. And then lastly, God wanted his people holy for this reason. Go to Leviticus 11. Leviticus 11 and chapter 11 and chapter 19. Chapter 11, verse 44, it says, "For I am the Lord your God, ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." This is, God just got done telling them about the unclean and the clean animals to eat. And he said, look, don't eat the unclean animals. You're a holy people because I'm holy. So I want you to be holy. And then in chapter 19, in verse 2, it says, "Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I the Lord your God am holy." God wanted Israel to be a holy people because he was holy. They represented him, so he said, hey, I'm holy, I want you to be holy. If you type in the word holy and you look, and you go through a concordance or you find a Bible app or something, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and a little bit in Deuteronomy, and it's just thing after thing after thing after thing after thing after thing. And God says, I want this holy, and I want this holy, and I want this holy. I want this day holy. I want this place holy. I want this thing to be holy. We have a holy God that desires that we be holy.
Amen.
We really do. Without God, there's nothing that is holy. Think about that. If God didn't exist, there would be no such thing as holy. There would not be holiness, because you can't be holy without God, because God is holy. Therefore, what he deems holy needs to be, should be. Think of a bride on her wedding day. Nice, white, beautiful dress, right? Bright, white. You think she's going to accept it if she has a little, you got a little stain right there in the front, but it's not that noticeable. You're not going to accept that. That dress is ruined now because there's a little stain. She wants that stain taken care of. She does, you know, if the maker of the dress showed up with the dress and said, I got it for you, it's ready to go. I had some grape juice the night before and I spilled a little bit right there, but it'll be okay. No, she said, I don't want it. Take it back. Give me a new one. It's not acceptable. It's got to be perfect. Just right. Well, that's our God. He wants it holy. He doesn't want a little blemish on it. He wants it holy. And so you know what? Because he's holy, he wants us to be holy. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1. This is where it gets a little difficult. It's easy to say, yep, God's holy. Yep, he's holy. He's got some holy things, and because he's holy, they're holy. But we belong to him. He wants us to be holy too. Look in verse 15. It says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy."
Amen.
So because God is holy, he wants us to be holy. Remember, holy means separate, set apart, totally different. Are we separate, set apart? We should be. God wants us to be. Hey, he wants you to be separate from the things of this world. Holiness is referring to something that's not like this world. God's not like this world. So he doesn't want us to be like this world. He wants us to be holy. He wants us set apart. He wants us separate. He wants us to be different. That all manner of conversation. That's just in how we live. That's some of it can be in the way we speak. But I think that's in how we live. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look in verse 7. It says, "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." So now we got a correlation here. Now we know, okay, if you're not holy, then you're unclean. Well, God says, hey, I've not called you to uncleanness. When you got saved, God says, hey, I called you. And I didn't call you to be unclean. I didn't call you to stay and continue in your filth. I called you to holiness. Do you try to strive for that? He wants us to be like him, which means he wants us to be holy. How do we do it? You know, how are we doing it trying to be holy? Or are we just kind of go through this life? This message to me is a good reminder to, hey, there's some things that we need to try to do in life. We need to make, you know, God doesn't accept just a little sin in our life. Well, I can, this little bit over here is okay, right, God? No, that's uncleanness.
Amen.
And God says, I don't want that in your life. I've not called you to that. I've called you to be holy, which means I want you to stay away from the uncleanness. And sometimes it's real easy to just, well, it's just this one thing, God. No, he doesn't call us to that. He calls us to be holy. He wants us to be holy. Look at Romans chapter 12. Look, it's holiness with our spirit, holiness with our soul, but holiness with our body too. Romans 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Hey, we're to keep this body clean. It's not to be unclean. Think about it. God dwelt in temples, right, in the Old Testament. He dwelt in the tabernacle and he dwelt in the temple. And he doesn't dwell in temples anymore made with man's hands.
Amen.
He says, your body is the temple.
Right.
Well, he wants to dwell in something that's holy. Do we keep it holy? Or do we allow it to get unclean? We should be careful with what we put into our body.
Amen.
All right? Look, we can put stuff into our body through our eyes.
Oh, yeah.
There's things we're looking at. I understand that, hey, something can come up, but do we invite that stuff in? There's things we can put in with our ears. Consume in that way. Do we do our best to... I understand there's sometimes there's nothing you can do about it. But do we try to avoid some things? There's things we consume through our mouth. There's some things we're not supposed to take. Partake in that would hurt our body.
Amen.
Okay? We got to take care of this body. God gave us one, all right? So we should try to take care of it, maintain it. Please keep it clean, all right?
Amen.
Keep it clean. Be a good testimony for him, okay? We got to take care of this body that he gave us because, you know, it's his temple. And he wants us to care for it. He wants us to be holy. He says, hey, present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God.
Amen.
You know, one of the things I was thinking about this, I mean, hey, husbands, wives, you know, if you have a spouse, you should be faithful to that spouse. That's one way to keep your body holy.
Amen.
Don't be an adulterer. And you say, well, I'm not married. Well, then don't be a fornicator.
Amen.
Because God says that kind of sin is the one sin that you sin against your body.
That's right.
Find that interesting. All other sins, if you sin, it's not against your body, but that sin is against your own body. God says, keep it clean. I encourage young people, hey, keep clean.
Oh, yes.
Wait till you're married.
Amen.
And then when you get married, be faithful.
Right.
You know, it's a lot easier to be faithful if you've waited. It's a bit easier. Well, we got to keep this body holy. God said, hey, keep it holy for me. It's my temple. I dwell there and commune with you. Take care of it. What else? We should be separate from the world, too. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 16, it says, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. We're to live separate from the world. Look, we have to live in this world. We have to do things in this world. We have to be a part of this world, but we're not to be like this world. God wants us to be different. Hey, that means we should talk different. We should look different. We should dress different. I believe there's some, you know, there's some haircuts I don't think God wants us to have.
Amen.
You know, think of it this way, we're an ambassador for the Lord. You represent Christ. You represent him when you go out there.
Amen.
Well, how you appear, your appearance, is going to tell people if you're a Christian or not. And you know, most Christians can tell, and honestly, I find it interesting, just about every lost person I know, they know what a Christian is supposed to look like. They know what a Christian is supposed to talk like. You ask them, they'll tell you. They know. Now, they try to get you to sin. Yeah, I've had them. I've had them do it. They try to get you to, oh, come on, come on.
Amen.
The things they tempted me with, it wasn't a temptation. I had no desire for it. But they know what you should be like. They know how you should act. They know how you should talk. So be holy. Be that way. Be Christ-like. Be like a Christian to them. As servants of righteousness, we're to have fruit unto holiness. Romans 6, verse 18, it says, being then made free from sins, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were servants, the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. Before you were saved, you bore fruit, right? But it was uncleanness. Wasn't worth anything. It was things that you were ashamed of. Because you couldn't do what was right. You didn't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. You couldn't make those right decisions. And so the fruit that you bore, you're ashamed of that fruit. But the Bible tells us now that we're saved, we should have fruit unto holiness. See, because our God is holy, we can be holy. And so since we're holy, we can produce holiness. Well, do you bear fruit that's holiness? Things that are Christ-like, the deeds of what God would say, hey, that's pleasing to me. I enjoy seeing what you do. That would be holy. It's something that's pleasing to God. We should be like that. We shouldn't produce the fruit that we did before we got saved. We shouldn't produce the fruit of the old flesh, the old man. We should have fruit of the new man. Who helps us discern what is holy? Well, in the Old Testament, Ezekiel 44, it tells us that the priests, they would tell the people what was holy and what was not holy. I found that very interesting. Priests would tell them, hey, don't do that, that's not holy. Or do that, that's holy. Oh, nope, don't do that, that's not a very holy thing. So if they had a question, they would go to a priest and find him and say, hey, is this something I should do? Is this a holy thing to do? And they tell them yes or no. Don't do it or go ahead and do it. We say today, well, who do I have to tell me? Because, you know, maybe there are some things in your life you're not sure about. You say, Lord, would doing this be holy for you? Is this something you don't want me to do? Well, we don't have priests today, but I believe a pastor would be a good one. A pastor would be a good person to ask and say, hey, Pastor, would this be a holy thing to do? Would this be something that would be right? Sometimes God gives them some wisdom and discernment in areas that you don't have. All right? But a little bit more importantly than just a pastor, because look, pastor's a man. Pastors can still get things wrong, although they have a lot of discernment. All right, most pastors, they see things with folks. They can really help some people. All right, but he's still a man. Ultimately, you do have a way to know, is this holy or not? And you can know for sure. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 22, it says, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then jump down to verse 30. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed under the day of redemption. We skipped a bunch of verses here, but it talks about a lot of stuff with the old man, all right? Things that the old man would do. And then it tells us to grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. You know, when you get saved, you got the Holy Spirit indwelling in you. I believe he'll tell you if something's holy or not. You know why the Bible tells us not to grieve him? Because when you grieve him, he gets quieter and quieter, quieter. Because you get harder and harder and harder. Because you ignore him, and then you ignore him, and you ignore him, and all of a sudden you can't hear him anymore. And that which you would have said maybe back a way ago, what you would have said, oh, that's not holy, I shouldn't do that, it's not holy, you now do, because you've been not been listening to that Holy Spirit this whole time. He'll tell you if you'll listen to him. He'll tell you. I find the verse in Scripture says, that which is not of faith is sin. That's a good verse to grab a hold of. All right, that's a good verse to grab a hold of, because there's some things in that the Bible doesn't say, thou shalt not do this. It doesn't necessarily say that, but, man, you know that ain't right. I had a situation arise, I was talking to my dad about it, where somebody gave me some counsel, and he said, oh, it'd be okay if you did this, and I got thinking about it, I thought, no, I can't do it. And I said, it may be okay for that Christian, but it's not okay for me.
Right.
It came down to that which is not of faith is sin. And the Holy Spirit was like, hey, I don't agree with that. I don't think you should do that.
Right.
And so I didn't, because I listened. Hey, I got the Holy Spirit to tell me, to guide me. You want to know what's holy? Ask him. Sometimes I don't think we want to ask him, though, right? Because we don't want to know. Because I want to be able to do this one thing that I think is okay. But what if he says it's not holy? Well, are you willing to give that thing up and say, hey, God, I want to be like you. I want to be holy, so I'm gonna. Is it okay, God? Is this holy to do? Is this holy to wear? Is this holy to have? Or should I give it up? Should I give it up? God is holy. This world, it has nothing to do with being holy at all. It adamantly goes against the holiness of God. It goes against what everything God has to be. Do you know what? God wants us to be like him. He's holy, therefore we should be holy. I encourage you to think about this week. It's there's a lot here to think about. God is holy, so because of that, his name's holy, his book is holy, his throne is holy, his heaven is holy.
Amen.
Anything that he chooses to be holy is holy. And you know what? He chooses for you and for me to be holy. Are we that way? Are we that way? Let's bow and close our eyes for a moment. Just have a little bit of quiet time. Just maybe talk with God a little bit. And just, I don't know if God's dealing with anybody in your heart tonight. Look, if you're not saved, you can't have the holiness of God. It's not possible. Because you still, you've not been reborn, you've not had the new birth, you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can't have that yet until you get there. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, grab my hand, we'll get somebody to show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. That's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life, knowing for sure you're going to heaven one day. Getting your sins forgiven. Very important. Christian, how you doing? Are you trying to live a holy life? I know it can be difficult. Are you trying? Or are you doing everything that isn't holy? Everything that's unclean? Maybe tonight say, God, help me and purpose that I'm going to make some changes. I'm going to live a life that's holy to you. Lord, we We thank you that you're our God. You're a good God to us. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve your goodness. We don't deserve your kindness. Because of your holiness, we deserve your wrath, God. Because we sinned against you. But out of the goodness of your heart, your graciousness, your mercy, you chose to provide a way of escape for us. You sent your Son to die on the cross for us. We thank you for that, God. And because of that, we can be holy with you. Lord, help us as Christians at First Baptist Church here that we would try to get that established now here on earth and not wait till we're in heaven with you to say, all right, God, make me holy. As you asked us to do it now, help us to live a clean, holy life and to not partake of that which is unclean and try to keep this body clean for you and our soul and spirit clean for you. God, help us to be holy, and I believe if we as a church, as individuals, can be holy, we can make a difference in this community. People will see a difference in this church and will wonder what's going on. Because there'll be something different in all of us. God, help us to do our best to live like you. Bless us as we go our separate ways. Give everyone safety as they go home, Lord. Help us to be a good witness and testimony for you out in our workplaces, out and out in the community. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. Glad you could come tonight.